Pakistan was founded in 1947. It has not proved an easy country to lead. Indeed, it's something of a wonder anyone tries. In those seven short decades of its existence, Pakistan has seen two presidents, or the equivalent, overthrown in coups, two forced into resignation, two quitting to avoid impeachment, one hanged, one killed in an arguably suspicious plane crash, one chased into exile, one dying from illness in office. Of Pakistan's prime ministers, four have been sacked, three unloaded by their own parties, one chased into exile, one assassinated, one chased into exile and then assassinated upon their return. And these are an incomplete assessment of the hazards attendant upon high office in Pakistan. We've only got about 5 minutes, and at any rate are to say nothing of uncountable attempted assassinations, failed coups d'etat, and sundry abortive plots. Any occupant of Pakistan's presidential palace or prime ministerial residence knows to sleep with one eye open and a pistol beneath their pillow. So it is possible that Pervez Musharraf, who was president of Pakistan between 2001 and 2008, has responded philosophically to the death sentence passed upon him this week by a court in Islamabad, which convicted him of high treason. Musharraf cannot claim that he didn't know what he was getting himself into.
Inaction at this moment is suicide for Pakistan, and I cannot allow this country to commit suicide. I had to take this action in order to preserve the democratic transition which I initiated.
Musharraf also enjoys the consolation that the sentence is unlikely ever to be enacted. He received news of the verdict in Dubai, where he has lived since 2016, having prudently contracted around then a mysterious ailment that could not possibly have been treated in any of Pakistan's many perfectly serviceable hospitals. Certain reprehensible cynics have further suggested that the United Arab Emirates' lack of an extradition treaty with Pakistan may have been as much a factor in Musharraf's choice of destination as the healthcare. In assessing the reasons for what has befallen Musharraf, it is worth recapping how he gained power in Pakistan and how he lost it. Musharraf was a career army officer and by 1999 held the rank of general and the title of chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Pakistan's senior most military role. That year, tensions between Musharraf and then Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif climaxed in a coup d'etat in which Musharraf seized power.
I would like to say, please do not expect your level of democracy, which you learned over a number of centuries. We are also trying to learn, and we are doing well. Please give us time.
Musharraf held office, surviving at least two assassination attempts until 2008, when he resigned amid chaos and turbulence encroaching from a number of fronts. He left for London and returned to Pakistan in 2013, hoping to campaign for office again, but found himself under house arrest. Prominent among a lengthy list of accusations against him was involvement in the assassination of former Prime Minister and former fellow exiled Benazir Bhutto, who was murdered shortly after her return to Pakistan in 2007.
We are prepared to risk our lives and we are prepared to risk our liberty, but we are not prepared to surrender our great nation to the militants.
This is not what Musharraf has been convicted of, however. The high treason charge relates to his unsuccessful last-ditch attempt to prolong his presidency. In 2007, he declared a state of emergency and suspended the constitution, pulled the plugs on TV channels, sacked the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and had several opposition figures placed under house arrest, including current Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan. Musharraf may be reflecting that some of his former foes have long memories. But so do some of his former comrades. Pakistan's military has always taken a flexible view of the convention of submission to civilian command, and one of the more eyebrow-arching responses to the death sentence against Musharraf has come from the Pakistani military's media department, which said that the sentence had been received with a lot of pain and anguish by the rank and file of Pakistan's armed forces. It also suggested, in an unmistakable tone of airy menace, that that due legal process seems to have been ignored, and that an officer of Musharraf's stature could surely never be a traitor. Nice little independent judiciary you have here. Wouldn't want anything to happen to it. If one sets aside any squeamishness about capital punishment, the conviction of Musharraf is arguably a step forward for Pakistan's always fraught and fragile constitutional democracy. A robust assertion of the rule of law against a rogue officer who took power by force and tried to keep it by the same means. However, nobody in Pakistan needs reminding of the tendency of Pakistan's military to assert itself right back.
Dear brothers and sisters, your armed forces have never and shall never let you down, inshallah. We shall preserve the integrity and sovereignty of our country for a prosperous future for Pakistan.
As we go to air, Musharraf's legal team claim that their client intends to challenge the guilty verdict and the death sentence in Pakistan's Supreme Court. It would be better for his country and himself if he did so from a distance. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.